Okay, welcome. Welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. This is the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as Mayor of the City of South Jordan with our outstanding City Council seated up here and our staff that are here. We appreciate all of our staff who are with us and those who are not with us that are working hard to make South Jordan the place we want to live. We welcome all of you and anyone joining us online, and we are going to open our meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Dawn Shelton.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening and we thank thee for the great blessings that thou hast given us. We thank thee for the privilege in participating in our government. We thank thee for South Jordan City and for the council members and mayor and their families, and for the city staff. And we thank thee for the residents who live here. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the snow that thou hast blessed us with, and pray that thou continue to bless us with additional moisture. We pray that thy spirit will be with us here this evening and guide us. Help us to be wise, to be able to communicate in an appropriate and civil way, and to be able to understand one another clearly. We pray that thou bless us so we can make appropriate decisions that will bless all who live here. We love thee and we thank thee for all that thou hast given us. And we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As a reminder, we invite anyone in the city who would like to give an invocation or a thought or anything to open our meetings. You're always welcome to, and it can be whatever you feel would be appropriate. And all you need to do is contact our city recorder if you're interested. We'd love to have you. All right, next we have the Pledge of Allegiance, and we appreciate our communications manager and public information officer, Rachel Van Cleve, who will lead us in that.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Thank you. All right, item D on our agenda, we have the minutes from our January 7, 2026 City Council budget meeting that have been sent out in draft form. Does anyone have any questions, comments, or amendments on those draft minutes, or is there a motion to approve them?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes.
Thank you. I have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mrs. Johnson. Any discussion? All right, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those minutes are approved. All right, next we have our mayor and council reports, and we can do this now or we can move it to the end of the meeting. What would you like to do for the sake of time? Can we make them brief? Let's make it brief. This is where we like to take just a quick minute to share a couple of things that we've each been working on. There's not time to be comprehensive about it, but just want to let you know some of the things that we've been working on, each of us, as we work to represent the city. Is there anyone that would like to go first? Mr. Shelton, would you go first?
Yeah. Madam Mayor, since our last council meeting, I have had occasion to conduct the Jordan River Commission meeting as chair of the Jordan River Commission. Also had the opportunity to meet with all of you and other folks from our community as we started the 9/11 museum kickoff. So we started the planning for that. Had an opportunity to meet up at the state capitol for a couple of legislative policy committee meetings. These are meetings that are put on by the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and we lobby the legislature regularly. Had an opportunity to do that lobbying, to talk with legislators about important matters and how they might affect our city. And also had the opportunity to meet with some folks who are working on a project that they hope to bring to our city in the not too far future. So those are the things that I've been working on since our last meeting.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Shelton. Mrs. Zander.
Yes, thank you. On Saturday, Valentine's Day, February 14th, we have the South Jordan Race Series. For those of you that aren't aware, about 8-9 times a year, we have a South Jordan 5K run, walk, ruck. And the one thing I love about our city is that we are so inclusive. Probably 10 years ago, when I went to my first South Jordan 5K race, I felt like a complete non-athletic loser. But now you can go to the race, and there's ruckers, there's walkers, there's racers, and our staff has done a fantastic job. So at the end of every race, everybody gets a medal, you pay your small entry fee, and you all participated and had a great time. So just kudos to our staff. The culture that they've created for these events is fantastic. The attendance was great. And I heard comments from many residents how happy they were with the nice people at every corner directing you where to go, and just how kind some of those youth employees were that were directing people. So kudos to the staff for that. I too have had a couple of opportunities to call different legislators and express my opinions on different bills. Super appreciative of those that have responded. Well, everyone I've reached out to has responded. I've also had an opportunity, there's a few people I know that are planning to run for office this fall. Different candidates have asked to meet with me and chat about their candidacy. I'm grateful for those who are choosing to run for office and people that are willing to step up and serve locally and statewide. So that's my report.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Yep. So just this morning, I attended the Jordan Basin. That's the sewer district here in the South Valley. And everything's going well with sewer. I was previously selected as the vice chair of that board, just to let everyone know. But everything's going well. And, you know, they actually have... They're going over the backups, and it's amazing how few backups ever happen, you know, and in the South Valley, how well it's ran. So some other things, South Valley Chamber, I think we call it the State of the Chamber meeting that they had, attended that along with other council members here, and Mayor, you were there as well. That meeting went well. The chamber does a great job, you know, representing the businesses in our city. So thankful for them. And also, along with other council members that attended the 25th anniversary planning for the 9/11 as well. So, and I think we'll have a lot of support for that. So, that's my report.
Thank you. Mrs. Johnson?
I believe there's some youth council in the back. Just would like to remind you that on Thursday there will be a meeting. Hope to see you all there.
Mr. McGuire?
Yeah, I attended many of the same meetings as the rest of the council members. Had an arts council meeting, and tonight we're going to have the privilege from hearing from the arts council chair, recapping what took place this past year, and give a little insight into at least one event coming up, which is the play that's been selected for 2026. And just want to mention the state of the chamber event that Councilmember Harris went to, and just the impact that being part of the chamber has as we're looking at this 9/11 memorial event that will take place in South Jordan, and how members of the chamber have already stepped up, hearing of the need that we have as a city, as the host city, to have like hotel rooms for some of the visiting guests that will be in, and that they just stepped in right away. And just the power of the South Valley Chamber, and I'm grateful for their willingness to not just support businesses, but to be part of the South Jordan community. It's wonderful. And I just encourage all of you that are here tonight to be in tune with what the legislature is doing, what they're proposing. You know, at times we get a lot of slack for how things get developed in the city. In maybe a negative way, you don't like the type of housing that's coming in. Well, there's a number of housing bills that start up at the legislature. and they impact what cities can or cannot approve. And so just be aware of what's going on in the up at the Hill. You might hear a little sound bites. You hear something about local authority, cities maybe not being able to have that right to make the decision locally. Talk to one of us or reach out to member of your, well, one of those House representatives or state senators, and let them know your opinion on those bills. It's very important that they hear from all of us. And that's everything, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to skip over things that have already been mentioned. I've met with several of our local small businesses, the small business owners, and had a really good opportunity to celebrate 1 year anniversaries and welcomed some new businesses and had some good meetings with some of our local small business folks that they're doing well and they're grateful to be here. Also had the chance to meet with a few different residents about things, and it's just a great opportunity. It's one I enjoy. So a unique opportunity, a week ago, South Jordan, we were able to host the Federal Transit Administrator and to have Congressman Owens brought the Federal Transit Administrator here. Why here and why does that matter? Representative Owens and Representative Kennedy both serve on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee back in Washington. And this year, right now, over the next 4 weeks, they are writing the next surface transportation bill for the United States. And it's every 6 years. They just do this every 6 years. So right now, while this bill is being written, the state of Utah has prioritized that the number one goal that as a state and as lots of stakeholders have in seeking federal funding, a grant for federal funding, would be to double track Front Runner to take it down the 15-minute service up and down the whole Wasatch Front. Well, we have additional concerns in addition to being fully supportive of double tracking Front Runner, and that is our desire to have the ability to extend transit out of South Jordan, which right now is not going to be possible because of the way the formula is written back in Washington, D.C. It is not written for fast-growing areas to ever have a fighting chance at qualifying for federal funds to help pay for that. And it's more than the state can afford. It's more than the cities can afford. We've been working very hard with our collaborative cities and all the partners on a future route. It won't matter if there's not a way to pay for it. So right now, rather than fall 6 years behind, we are working to help get language added to that bill in Washington that would open the door to opportunity for fast-growing areas like us, like the state of Utah, like the entire West, to be able to qualify and at least have a fighting chance, because right now it literally is not written for us to do that. So Congressman Owens brought the Federal Transit Administrator here, and he rode Front Runner a stop and got off here. And I had the chance to be there to welcome him, and we had a roundtable with a lot of stakeholders, and it's part of a state and a federal and a local initiative to try to get that across the finish line and get that little bit of language change, which is the hinge point in so much opportunity. And we've got the support of our congressional delegation, our state delegations, our communities, everybody's working together on this, because if federal money is going to be spent on transportation or transit somewhere in the United States, it might as well be spent here. If they're going to spend it here. We have needs. We have needs as fast-growing communities, and we'd like at least a fighting chance to be able to qualify for some of that money. So it's a collaborative effort in every level of government that we're working on, and so we hosted the Federal Transit Administrator with Congressman Owens last Friday, and it went quite well. But there's a lot to still do. There's a lot to get done, and they're working on it in Washington, but it takes everybody. And so, anyway, that was a good opportunity. A lot of time at the legislature, as has been said, it's a busy time, and there's still the lion's share of work to be done in the short amount of time that's left. And there's key, very large bills that haven't even been released yet. It's pretty late in this session to have big, big bills that haven't even been released yet. So there's a lot to be done, but there's a little shy of 300 bills that impact local governments and what we do here and our ability to do what we do. And so we're working closely with all of our other cities and with the League and all the other partners to try to make sure that the opportunities that we want as a community continue to be something we have the opportunity to choose. Other than that, I just wanted to point out that for the 200, America 250 and the 25th anniversary of 9/11, the memorial project that we'll be doing here. Just wanted to point out, it is all volunteer. We'll be the host city, but we're not spending any city money on this. This is done completely by volunteers, partnering with the Major Brent Taylor Foundation and bringing in volunteers, which is why Mr. McGuire talked about that the Chamber's already stepped up and reached out to hotels who are offering, yep, we can donate rooms, hotel rooms. There's only a few hotel rooms needed from some of the folks from New York City that will come and be here. Anyway, it's going to be a special opportunity and one that we're grateful to get to be part of, and you'll be hearing more about that as we progress down the road, but it'll be over 9/11 this year. So that's the end of my report. And now we're going to move on to item F. We have our public comment period, and this is the time on the agenda where we get to hear from you. We're not going to dialogue and solve all of the things, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. Every meeting, I preface our comment period with this. I make a commitment on behalf of all of us that we will be respectful to each of you. And we ask the same in return. We're proud of the work that we do here in South Jordan and the way we do that work. We're proud of how we collaborate. This is a chamber where we value civility and civic dialogue. So we want to hear what you have to say, and then we also want to work through it. So once I open the public comment period, everyone who would like to speak will be given 3 minutes, and you can come up to the microphone. We need you to give us your name and address for the public record. And I got some information sent to me right before our previous meeting that there were some folks that were coming to talk about water shares. And how many of you are here to talk about water shares? Okay. Do you have one spokesperson who's going to speak for all of you, or do you all want to speak separate? Because if you have one spokesperson who's going to speak for all of you, I can give you 6 minutes instead of three, or you can each take your three individually. Okay, I'm getting a lot of head nods and being told that Mr. Teeples is who you want to have speak on your behalf.
Well, I should speak. I'll take 4 minutes and other people can speak. No, you get
three. So we don't have a spokesperson? People are going to speak individually? Okay. So some of the information I got is that there was some information shared that might not be completely accurate. So I'm going to ask if our assistant city manager, Mr. Jason Rasmussen, would just give a little bit of context, and then we'll open the public comment period. Mr. Rasmussen?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate the minute I have. I've had a chance to speak to a few of the residents here that are affected by the city putting a pause on share leasing. The Great Salt Lake Commission reached out to us. They're trying to find water to get to the Great Salt Lake. They reached out to us, Harriman, Riverton, Bluffdale, cities that own shares that are not in use right now. They also reached out to other large shareholders. They asked us to submit a proposal to, for a period of time, 1 to 5 years, send our unused shares to the Great Salt Lake. So we did that. At this point, there's a proposal in the Great Salt Lake Commissioner's office. There's no obligations or contracts for the city to move that water along to the Great Salt Lake right now. We'd have to come back if they wanted our shares for a period of time. They would come back to us and let us know, and then we would come back and have a conversation if that was in the city's best interest. So right now, the leasing is on a pause. They've told us they will let us know this spring, so we could very well hear back prior to water coming in the canal. Usually it's mid-April. And so once we hear back, we will let all of you know, all the people that have leased with the city before. The other thing is our staff has been working really hard to find other shareholders that we can connect with all of you so that we can get some shares leased to you for this year. We're not obligated to do that, but we felt like we should try to help residents out who want to continue to lease shares. So that's the current status. There's a pause. And as soon as we hear back from the Great Salt Lake Commission on their status of looking at the proposal that was submitted by all the cities in the southwest corner of Salt Lake County, we will go from there.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, I'll open the public comment period and turn the time over to, like, you can just come up one at a time, whatever order you would like to go in.
Troy Teeples, 11451 South Terrewoods Lane. So for over 20 years, I've leased shares with the city as well as many, many people. So I didn't get my letter. I called the city. I talked to Mr. Asmussen. I was very surprised to hear that they were not going to lease shares. When was the city going to let us know this? I still haven't really been informed. I mean, it just all just kind of happened. Then I asked, who made this decision? Mr. Asmussen said, staff. Are you kidding? A decision of this magnitude that's going to affect this many people and you folks aren't taking a vote on this? Mayor, where is our water? So then Mr. Asmussen said to me, go to KSL.com and buy a share. I went and looked. There are none. They're over $5,000. I've got a neighbor who leases 3 shares. He's retired. What's the guy supposed to do? Your own website says the city offers an annual lease of shares to private water users that have access to the water via ditches and other private systems. We've also learned that there's an eBay data center in South Jordan that uses approximately 19.5 million gallons of water. This is between October 24 and September 25. What is the city's responsibility, the city council's responsibility? Seems to me that it's to protect the citizens. For years, city developers have had to turn their water shares over to the city, and then residents should be the ones to benefit, not the Great Salt Lake. Now, my question is, how many shares does the city have? And of those shares, how many have been leased? What's the cost that the city is getting for these shares? Now, Mr. Asmussen told me that whatever cost it was, they're going to put that aside into some sort of a fund to offset future water increase costs. That kind of reminds me of the Social Security Fund that's got a great big IOU in it. So we need more answers, and we need them quicker. And those of us that have leased for so many years, we want to continue leasing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Teeples.
My name's Bruce Moffat. I live at 11152 Belmont Hills Place. And when we moved here, my wife, well, our family, we bought a property. It's about 1.2 acres in a subdivision. And so we looked at doing water shares, and back then it was $5,000. It didn't make any sense purchasing any when I could lease it for $30 a year. And it was less then. So anyway, my system, if I have to go to a different system, I'm probably looking at several thousand dollars that I have to use to convert over to culinary, because I can't use the existing system because I stand a chance of contaminating the water. So it's a fairly big financial amount of money for somebody who's retired. I'm also on the board of the Thaxton Acres Irrigation. I have to pay them money every year, whether I use the water or not. And right now it's about $300. So I would either have to drop out of that, but I use that to do irrigation with the, sprinkler system with that. So I spent $500 last year getting my system set up so that it would function properly this year. And that money's all right now has gone to waste. So I would encourage you to rethink that. I've been leasing shares for 15 to 20 years since I moved here. And I would like to continue doing that. And I think it's... One, I agree, it's not fair to just spring this on us because now we'll have to make changes to our system, which can be very costly and time-consuming. And so I encourage you to rethink this.
Thank you, Mr. Moffat.
So I'm Jacob Jorgensen, 2617 West Rustic Middle Circle. My wife and I moved here specifically looking for a property that we could get water shares. I'm not speaking on behalf of my job, but I work for Salt Lake City Public Utilities. I set the rates and do the rate proposals, and I'm working with the State Commission on the pilot programs for what you guys have been talking about. I'm very familiar with what cities do and what municipalities do. We buy up water shares because we want to secure our own water resources. You mentioned, and I'm glad you gave us the insight. You answered a lot of my questions. One of the issues, though, is you see this as unused water. It's not unused. We all use it. We use it for a purpose. You have farmers here. You have people like me who I just have an urban garden. My neighbor has horses. He uses it for that. We use it. And I understand the city wants to try to contribute. And if you as a city don't want to use these shares, sell them to us. I know my wife and I would be willing to secure our water future and have that those rights secured. And if the city sees it as this is not a resource that you want to hold on to, that you want to let go of, let it go to us. Let us make that decision on what we can use. Because we have uses for this. And as was mentioned on irrigation, my system would also cost thousands to turn over, and then thousands more each year in water use and culinary water use, because I don't have access to pressurized secondary water. And lastly, I just want to mention, I know all of you care about this. I know you want to do the right thing. And I am sure a lot of you are surprised by the decision that was made. I know there are a lot of other considerations. I know the state's considerations. I just hope you'll consider these considerations of those of us who grow, who participate in the economic development and the food that we eat, the food that we share. Most of my urban garden, my wife and I laugh about this, over half of it, we donate to people who can't afford food. And so it is a great public service of what many of us are doing.
Thank you, Mr. Jorgensen.
Good evening, Mayor Ramsey and council members and Mr. Rasmussen. My name is Umu Tafisi, 11542 South, 29-50 West. I come here as a trained attorney, but more importantly, as a resident of this great city, resident of 8 years and counting. I'm speaking tonight as a resident concerned about secondary irrigation access, including for those who need to lease the water shares like myself. Many of us appreciate and need the lease shares annually and rely on that water to maintain our properties. While those leases may be renewed year to year, our families make long-term landscaping and financial decisions based on the reasonable expectation of continued access. If the city redirects leased irrigation water to the Great Salt Lake, even for an important environmental purpose, that decision directly impacts residents who depend on that supply, residents like all of those, or those of us, my fellow residents behind me. I want to be clear. Supporting the Great Salt Lake and protecting residents' water stability are not mutually exclusive, but participation in water leasing for environmental purposes should be voluntary, transparent, and structured so residents are not disproportionately affected. For many residents, leased irrigation water, it's not a luxury. It is built into the design, value, and livability of our homes. Property values in South Jordan reflect our green space, which we love so much, including my five children, maintained landscaping, and neighborhood standards. If irrigation availability becomes difficult for us to obtain or uncertain or significantly reduced, that has real financial consequences for us homeowners. If reallocation of water leads to significant infrastructure changes or higher rates, those costs will fall directly on families already managing rising expenses. We can support efforts to stabilize the Great Salt Lake, but we must be honest. Shifting water away from residential use has economic ripple effects. Reduced irrigation access can impact property values, resale potential, and overall neighborhood appeal. So I respectfully ask this council, what formal economic impact analysis has been conducted specific to South Jordan residents? How will property value impacts be mitigated if irrigation access changes? What guarantees can you provide that residents will not bear disproportionate costs? And will the city hold public workshops outlining impacts before final decisions are made? Residents respectfully request predictability, transparency, and protection of water access. I urge this council to move forward carefully with clear communication and better understanding and planning for the residents' needs so we can support the lake without destabilizing the families who live here. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate this representative republic and the time that you give to hear us out. And I hope that we can have more transparency going forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is John Moran. I live at 10741 South Martingale Drive, which is about 2950 West. I appreciate having the clock. We should do that in church meetings as well, I think.
You're not the first person to suggest that.
Well, I'm not extraordinarily intelligent, but it seems reasonable. One of the things that seems very reasonable in this particular situation, since I'll just say the water department sends out notices every year that leases are available, I find it odd that nothing was sent out this year when that list obviously exists, and we could have been notified that there was some kind of a change in the air. The possibility of our leasing water might not happen. I use four shares on my land, and one of the reasons I have four shares is not because I have an extraordinary amount of water, but it's because I have to pump uphill from the ditch at the bottom of my property. I think this is a small ask to just say something of this import and where a mechanism is already in place to be able to notify the people that will be most affected. It seems, I'm not sure what the word is, and I don't want to say anything insulting, but it seems like somebody dropped the ball, and Ms. Rasmussen, not necessarily yourself, but it would have been well to use the letters. You already have the addresses. I'm sure that you've already budgeted for the postage. Instead of the letters saying the leases are available at this time and it's this much, and obviously the water's important to us, because last year my water was some $50 a share when I first started leasing in 2008. I think it was about $22, but it's important to us. You have a mechanism to reach us, let us know. That will make city government feel a lot less distant from us by letting us know and bringing us in on the conversation. Thank you for your time. It's nice to have a meeting like this and be able to air our concerns. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Bellows. I live at 2661 West, North 40 Way. And I just would like to add my concurrence with what's been expressed so far, especially by the sister who left and spoke of the things that she did. I have been in my residence for 45 years. I have two shares. And you can imagine over these 45 years, the expense that I've gone to landscape this just under an acre, gardens, etc., I don't think that I use anywhere near the shares that I have had leased. But, and so that excess water is already going down to someone else's use or ultimately to the lake. When I first moved in on Weir 34, there was an open ditch. It was about chest deep and maybe as wide in places as from here to the counter up there. And it posed a danger to the neighborhood and the children. And I bore the expense of putting in 15-inch corrugated culvert, professionally installed, put a weir in, put a head gate in that could be pumped out of. And I wasn't using the water at all. But I put it in. So I have a lot of sunk costs. Subsequent to that, I put in the rest of the infrastructure, which includes pipes and pumps and all of those things that are required to make that work for my area. You can imagine my shock when I found out there may not be any water. I may not be able to use that water that I've been using all these years, that I have a lot of sunk costs in, thousands of dollars. And so I'm expressing my concern about that, one, that there wasn't a notification, two, that it wasn't, the communication seems to have been dropped, and I don't know where that lands, and I'm not here to accuse anyone. I just think that it should be noted and probably attended to in your meetings, that the communication that comes from this body to the residents is more clear, is more succinct, and is more timely going forward. I thank you for your time and for your service, and have a good evening.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
My name is Charles Kimmerly, 10502 South, 2700 West. I came here not to talk, but to listen. I was very interested in how this happened. I was especially interested in what this gentleman said, that you paused unused shares. I think if everybody in this room that came here tonight had a chance to express to you how that water is being used, you're actually saying that their gardens, their lawns, their thousands of dollars in landscaping, their orchard, their trees, the coolness in the summer, all those things above, that water is essential, and by August it will be brown if they don't have water. I did take heart in what he said, because it sounds like you still have the option to unpause them. One last comment. The Utah Lake Distribution Canal was built 3 years after the pioneers got here. They got here in 47. That canal was built in 1850. For 176 years, it has been fulfilling its purpose. It was never meant to keep the Great Salt Lake full. The people realized in order to live in this valley, it is a desert, always has been, always will be, you have to have water. Okay? No one has ever, in my mind, made a good case for the Great Salt Lake. It's, anyway, I won't go beyond that, I think of. But thank you for listening to us. I do believe that you can unpause this just as easy as you paused it. Please do that.
Thank you.
Hello, my name's Reed Motzkus. I'm at 11570 South, 2950 West. And as I've been listening to what's being said, I maybe give some thought of people have been leasing for decades, and they've made significant investments in their properties to take care of things. And what I'm hearing today as well is, it looks like what we'll be doing to send water to the Great Salt Lake is be using drinking culinary water to take care of this property that was done previously on secondary water. And I would, as you may consider this decision, maybe we consider that, because we're going to be using a lot of more of that drinking water that we need versus the secondary water. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Andrew Ives. 11498 2700 West. I appreciate the color that you presented on the shares. My question is, what does unused mean?
Unused to the city.
So if I was on a pressurized irrigation system, I'm unaffected by this pausing. We do use the water. It's not unused. And I volunteer to send any water that I don't use down Midas Creek to Jordan River, which then feeds to the Great Salt Lake. I will share my unused water with the Great Salt Lake. This does affect my family. We grow the food that we eat, whether that's beef or vegetables. In addition, it beautifies our city. Without this flood irrigation, my lawn will be yellow this year. I know I'll probably get a summons and a ticket, but I can't pay for culinary. The house was built in 1974 on the basis of flood irrigation. It's set up for it, designed for it. I would have loved to make the changes to go to pressurized or to culinary. However, the lack of communications really got us in a quandary. I have searched for purchasing shares, which are $10,000 a share, if you can find them. At this time, no one is selling. If the city does have a surplus, and if it's feasibly lawful, please put them up for sale. You've got a room full of buyers right here. Thank you.
My name is Mike Powell, 2621 West, Horseshoe Circle. Even though I live on Horseshoe Circle, I grew up in South Jordan, just up across from the high school, and I grew up using the water out of this canal. And one share used to water our acre that we had. Up in Horseshoe Circle, we have 19 lots, they're 2-acre lots, and I believe we own 30 shares as a neighborhood, and those 30 shares used to water our lots. I do know a few people own a few more shares, and we've had to rent a few shares just to get the gate open far enough to make the water flow. The ground will swallow all the water if we flood without a decent head of water behind it. A year and a half ago, the state decided we were using more than what our shares allowed. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what happened, which caused us to have to rent more shares to be able to water our lawns, and now we don't even have that available to us. In time, we can all adjust. There are better ways to water than to flood, but I think that's something we should be able to work on together. But we, too, would love to buy more shares, if at all possible. And to us, it feels like a bureaucratic decision. We don't matter. Money matters, world politics matter, but, you know, we're just people. It makes our property useless and worthless, and it feels like you'd rather have apartment buildings than homes that have any property. But for our part, we would really appreciate to, at least for now, be able to rent shares or buy shares. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
My name is Wayne King. I live at 11555 South, 2700 West. I'd like to address a couple of issues. It goes to water access. I moved here in 1992. When I moved here, I bought 2 acres of land and 2 shares of water. Over the time, I know of several pieces of ground around me. The one most immediately close to me was a place called Jackson Downs. When the buyers bought that ground from Lee Jackson, the buyer told me that there was a ruling in South Jordan that mandated that any developer that bought land had to contribute the water shares to South Jordan. Now, I don't know if that's true. I believe it to be true, but it's hearsay. Now, the fact is that South Jordan, I don't believe, has ever paid for any of that water that is taken on consignment. The other thing is, over the years, water has not been fluid. When I say fluid, I mean it's not been able to take it from the east side to the west side or anywhere else. The water has been dedicated to ground. I've had years where I received a notice from the canal company. They wanted to specifically know if those 2 shares were still serving 11555 South, 2700 West. And I had to affirm in the positive that it was, because I had no right to take that water anywhere else. Now, the other things that have gone on, you've kept the price of water shares unreasonably high. If it's true that you've taken the shares developers had, you've made an artificial price for water. The fact is, before that, the canal company used to allow water to be transferred from the south arm in the Lehigh area from the north end, South Jordan area. So we saw a lot of water that came out of the ditch up here. It stayed down south. And the reason that happened was when builders wanted to build in Lehigh, they wanted to build and drill a well. The state engineer at that time was allowing somebody to buy a share of water in Salt Lake County and transfer that right to Lehigh and drill a well. So it's artificially been keeping the price of water on this canal high. You've taken it, you've got the use of it. When you say it's unused, I've got my 2 shares. I've always leased 2 or 3 from you to make it an easy deal for me to irrigate. So anyhow, I just wanted to spell the truth that this council needs to understand there's not a fluid market in shares. There's never been a fluid shares market because you've taken up any excess shares and other water that, like I had, had to be used on that land. If you go back and look at the Tribune, you'll find numerous articles about the state having made, just in the last couple of years, the right for farmers to be able to lease the water. That means taking it off the ground it was originally dedicated to and allow it to go somewhere else. That's the law now, but it wasn't the law when people could have bought shares. I respectfully tell you that that water is unused. It is used. It's used all the time. My last comment is this. I know that the city provides pressurized secondary water to a number of places in this valley, in this city. I walked the subdivision behind me today. 11625 is in Riverton. Along every house I walked by, there were 2 meters, a water meter and an irrigation meter. As I turned up Waterside Drive, the first house I walked by, there was a sign that says, "Welcome to South Jordan." I continued to walk, and I saw 2 meters as I kept going. So I know that there is pressurized irrigation going to some subdivisions that you probably continue to supply. So I'm saying to you that we've used this water all the time. We've paid a fair market price for it when we've come to count on it. So I'd like you to take into consideration the fact that this water has never been able to be marketed because of your activities and because of the prior law. So I humbly I humbly ask you to consider this and make the decision that this is not where the water needs to be coming from. Everybody knows that the water shares have been shortened, consolidated in. I think there has been water every year been moving on that canal to the Great Salt Lake. So anyhow, we need the water. I would like to say we had a right to it, but we don't have one entitled. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. Josh Ensager. I'm at 11515 South 2700 West. Me and my wife moved from Saratoga 2 years ago. We were looking for an acre of ground somewhere within this valley. South Jordan was our number one pick because it is a beautiful city. We do like the area. We love being a part of the community. The house we ended up buying, the ad said it came with two shares of water. I asked repeatedly to them, does this mean two owned shares? Because it is like owning a car, it has a title, has a certificate. I was told yes all the way till the day that we closed. And I said, how is the transfer of the water shares gonna go? And they said, well, the owners just say you go to the city and you pay for it. And I said, that's not how a water share is. The price of this house that I'm buying reflects two water shares at $10,000 to $12,000. And I ended up going through some battle with them and I lost out on that money. I lost some lawyer fees, was pretty upset, but still knew that I was gonna be able to continue to lease the shares through the city at what I felt was a reasonable cost. I've only been here for 2 years. So this is very disappointing to know that this house that me and my wife have bought for our ever home, we're gonna have to possibly make some changes, you know, to send a little more water to the Great Salt Lake. The amount of water that treatment plants along this corridor contribute to that Great Salt Lake is incredible. The largest plant in this up at Central Valley, 45 to 55 average million gallons a day go to the Jordan River, which goes to the Great Salt Lake. Then you got the Jordan Basin, you got South Valley, you got Salt Lake, even all the northern ones, all of the Davis treatment plants contribute. And that's a lot of water that's going out there. And there's still a problem. That lake is dying. And it's probably gonna die and then come back and die and come back. I don't know if upsetting a lot of your residents for a drop in the bucket, I don't know if the math has been done on it. An acre foot of water is about 325,000 gallons. And you know that for all the shares, I just don't know if that's worth it, in my opinion. Thank you for your time.
Before I close public comment, is there anyone else that would like to speak? All right, I'm gonna close the public comment period and sincerely thank each of you for being here and thank you for your very thoughtful comments and the respect that you shared them with. It means a great deal. We've all taken a lot of notes, copious notes, and I have all of your names and I have a lot of notes and we'll have conversations. We've got conversations to be had. And so thank you for coming and being here. And this is the way it's supposed to work, is that we're supposed to be able to talk about things this way. And I'm grateful that we still do it this way in South Jordan. So thank you. I can't tell you when you're gonna hear anything next. I don't know the answer to that. I can just tell you we'll have some conversations here. And somebody will, I'm not certain as to what the next path will be. We have to have a conversation, but. Hopefully you'll hear something from the city. Yes, I have a head nod that will happen. So, okay, thank you. I'm going to move us on now to our item G1, which is a presentation from the South Jordan Arts Council, the annual report that we always appreciate from the Arts Council. We're gonna turn to our Director of Recreation, Janelle Payne, for that.
Thank you. I don't know if this gentleman really needs an introduction. Shan Lloyd
is our chair of the Arts Council. He's going to be making our annual report. And I just want to say how appreciative I am of the current Arts Council. They have been fantastic to work with, and Shan has done a great job over the last year leading the way and is serving. He was just voted as our chair moving forward through this next year. So I want to welcome him.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janelle. Thank you to the City Council, the Mayor, everyone here. Appreciate it. The Arts Council, we are, for those who may not know, that may be back behind me, we try to embody and continue the enjoyment and proliferation of the arts to the entire community of South Jordan. So our report for 2025 was an amazing year for us. And I'm not sure if this is my advancer or if it just advances automatically. That one's my advancer. Okay. There we go. Look at that. Okay. So for 2025, we did two theater arts, which are always a very big and very broad thing that we see. It's very visible to a lot of people and enjoyed by a lot of people in South Jordan and beyond. We brought in a lot of people from other cities to enjoy this with both the acting company, the people who helped bring on the production, as well as the audiences that get to enjoy this show that we had. We did Annie to immense success. It was loved by all the people. It's a great play, and it actually even was able to go on and have an encore run at the Eccles Theater up by the University of Utah for a run because it was such a good show and loved by so many people. And then in the fall, we're now trying to do two productions. We were able to do Forever Plaid. And for those of you who got to see it, fantastic show. I know I saw several of the City Council as well as the mayor happened to be there the night I was there. Fun show. We got to see a lot of historic and classic songs that a lot of the youth is now bringing back into production of use. And so great shows there, almost sold out in several of them. So fantastic show that we were really happy with. But theater arts is not the only thing we do. We also have several public art competitions. And these are great because they help bring out the artists all around us. And these are competitions where they can win money and bragging rights. We know that's the most important part is the bragging rights. The money is just nice besides. But it has categories for the youth, for the adults, for teenagers, for professionals, as well as for amateurs, which we really, really, truly love that we get to bring all those people out there and they get to compete. And we try to spread this across the entire year so that we can continue to bring those out in those small doses to get everyone there. There's a small sampling of some of the arts that we do. And when people think art, a lot of people think painting or drawing, but it's not just that with a lot of these events. It's everything from pottery and jewelry to photography and some of the other things you may not think is a traditional art medium that we try to include a spot on. And so throughout the year, we had a ton of those. A lot of those are of great success that the annual art show is so much fun that we love. We also have the quilt show that happens just upstairs and is amazing talent. And any of you that have tried to tie a quilt, all I found it was a practice in swearing and frustrating poking my fingers. And so those who do those, I'm very impressed with the difficulty and the ability and intricacy of some of those quilts. And then, of course, the gingerbread house at the end of the year. This is a class that we do, and it fills up very, very quickly because everyone loves it so much, and then they get to be on display. So a fun part of the event and just continued throughout the entire year of the competitions we get to do. But competitions aren't all of it. Public art is a great thing that we do. A lot of people in everywhere that we go, we're seeing that art programs are taking a hit in some public schools as that's considered as extraneous money that they don't have. But we're trying to help continue this to show that, hey, art is needed by all. And so we have displays that we've put up all over the valley, from the platforms that we installed at the track stations where people get to see them coming to the ballpark. That's an amazing thing that we've got here in South Jordan. The Jordan River Trail, we did the painted panels that beautify some of the underpasses in that are sometimes just, you know, dark concrete. The baseball mural was painted in October, and that is fantastic. For those of you who haven't had a chance to see it, look for it when you get there. Some great detail work and incredible work there. And then, of course, pumpkin carving, always fun for the season. And at the end, the candy windows, which we've all come to love and enjoy, and the ice carving. Also incredibly difficult, and all I would do is remove a finger if I tried something like that. All right, the utility boxes. These are something where we're able to place art in everyday objects that people pass them all the time. I know that my wife commented just the other day as we passed the Beagle that's put on the 114th South there. which is just fun to see, and they always seem to be placed perfectly where they go. And the Arts Council takes a lot of effort to kind of look at the traffic that's there, and we go over the art that's submitted to find out what's going to best fit in that to fit with the community that it's placed in. And we're not only lucky enough to have the ability to do those wraps, but we're also incredibly lucky to have the local artists that create the work that goes into those. So it's a chance to have art everywhere around us and help beautify what's normally just a box that sits on the side of the road, which, you know, they're there and they kind of get ignored. But now with the wraps on there, they help to bring focus to it. Okay, and our 2025 art programs continue throughout the year like we try to do. Art on display is year-round at the Gale Center as well as City Hall. If you happen to go upstairs as you're leaving out the back way through the east entrance on the main floor, you'll see Jason Yeaman's art up there, all of his photography, and it's incredible. He does amazing work. He's also a member of the Arts Council. But we keep that up to help inspire and keep these younger generations going forward. For the younger generation and the young at heart, the sock puppets are incredible over at the Gale Center. For those of you who have not had a chance to go see that, it's worth your time. It's very entertaining. It's very fun to see, and they do a great job with it. And then the next one down, the historical dance. For those of you who have not had a chance to do this, I am not the best of dancers, but it's fun to go and relive those pieces and periods in history. I know that when they did a 1950s-style dance, it was loads of fun. They have great music there, and everyone comes, and a lot of people come in a costume that's period correct, and they get to enjoy reliving different periods of their life. And we do that at the community center, and it's a great and fun time. I encourage everyone to go give it a chance and at least a shot once. You will be back more than once. And then youth art classes, summer camps, year-round community center and the Gale Center, we do those, trying to keep that going. And as to some of these events, people, when they do the family art, I watched one of those, and there were several young people that were impressed that they actually had a gift to do art that they had never before tried. And they went and painted and found that not only did they love it, and it helped them deal with maybe a mental problem they're dealing with, giving them clarity, but they found something that they were also good at that they could continue to work forward towards and continue to bolster that, which could help them in their later life. If nothing else, just giving them peace of mind and comfort. And like I talked about, the gingerbread class, almost a sellout instantly. It happens, and it does sell out every year and fairly quickly, and it's also a great time, fun to do. We see a lot of people do that, and they get them, put them on display. More fun and arts from the 2025, the Art Swap Gala we did last year, and for a footnote, that is coming up again here at the end of the month. And that is where artists come and bring a piece of art that's theirs. They get to put it on display and have a little reception, and everyone looks at their art. They're given a number when they come into the building. And then towards the end of the gala, those numbers are drawn out of a hat. And as your number is drawn, you get to go pick up a piece of art that's not yours, and you get to take it home. So you come with a piece of your art, and you leave with somebody else's. And it's a great experience. Gives broad spectrum to all the different people of artists. You may come with a painting and leave with a photography, or you may leave with a piece of jewelry. Arts in the Park that we get to do, the t-shirt battle, the music festival. We always try to do a call for art there. We love our summer fest that we have. The family paint party, again, everyone get out, get to run on the paints and see if you've got the skills. And if not, hey, it's just a fun time to be had with the family to go do something that is safe and family friendly. And then dueling pianos. And if you have not had a chance to see this one, I have seen it the last 3 years, and it is an incredibly good time. Lots of great music. They will do suggestions. It's all based on what the audience wants to recommend to them. And so the show changes, and it's different every time, but it's always a fantastic time. They're incredibly talented. And then the tie-dye party at the river, get to make shirts and do all of that, that they can have wearable art, which is fantastic. New this year, or last year, I should say, the Arts Champion Award we have started, and it's for a business or an individual that has helped to bolster and improve art for the city of South Jordan, that has done great work towards that. This award, the inaugural award, was given to Erin Grimshaw. She's an incredible artist. She has had several of her work pieces done. She's been in the art competitions year after year, the Grimshaw family, all incredible artists. But Erin has done a great job and done a lot for the city. There is a piece of her bio on there if you wanted to go look at it on the city's website. But she's been great support for that, and that's something going forward that we're planning on doing every year for giving an Arts Championship Award. And again, the overview of what we had, just kind of the stuff I've talked about right there that we're doing, we try to spread this out across the year so that we can continue to have something every month for everyone and kind of keep that art spark alive, going with everyone that wants to do it in different pieces. So sometimes it may be hand art, sometimes it may be performance art. Sometimes it may be something as watching a piece of art or participating in a piece of art. But we try to do it so that each month there's something for everyone. Now, coming in 2026, it's going to be an incredible year. We've got stuff lined up. Again, the same way, we've got 7 weeks of art consecutive that we're going to be doing, which will be great fun in different ways. So we're gonna do art on the town, and then we're gonna do adventure, which is the Heritage Splash Pad, then plain air competition, which is out at the Holt Farmstead. You get to see people doing art as it's happening. Chalk art at the South Jordan Summerfest, which is way, way cool. I'm impressed that they can do that, knowing that the next time the water happens, it will be gone. But the art is always just phenomenal to see and very, very fun. The family paint party, again, chance to get everyone out and get paint on you and some on the canvas and see what talent you've got in there and maybe bring out a hidden Rembrandt. And then the theater art production, we have decided this year on Guys and Dolls for our spring show, which is a huge crowd pleaser. Lots and lots of people love that, so I would suspect we will see large crowds for that one, helping bring people into our city, as well as opportunities for the people who live in the city. And the auditions for that one will be in March, and then the production will be the June 19th through the 20th. And then the Bingham Creek Trail mural, which is coming in spring of 2026, and we're doing that with the Bingham Creek Board. And also, as a footnote to add that's not on the slides, I was approached by the South Valley Arts Performing Arts Group, and I was offered a seat on the South Valley Performing Arts to represent the city of South Jordan. So there are voices heard within the South Valley County when those different areas have resources that we can possibly use. And so I've said yes to that, and we'll be joining them to help represent the city so we make sure we get our arts noticed on a county level. And that is the end of my presentation. Thank you to the board, and we are grateful for the support you guys have.
Shan,
yes.
I have a question.
Shoot.
Go ahead.
That's right.
Yes.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate all you've done. It's and the Arts Council and our staff. Great report, and great things happening. I'm curious about the mural at the Bingham Creek Trail. Is that under 4800 West?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That will be so great.
Yeah. That will be an awesome piece.
Yeah. Big lot of wall there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely plenty of blank canvas for great art there.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Any questions? Just thank you.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You. That was an excellent presentation, and we really do appreciate all that you do. The Arts Council is... we've had periods of time when they haven't been fully functioning in South Jordan's history. And, I mean, we just have such a great group that is moving all forward in the right direction. And between all of the volunteers that we have that are so good at just giving your time and the staff support and the good that you do, and just really appreciate it. It is such a benefit for our city.
Well, thank you. We are all great to all speak for on behalf of them, but we are all just grateful and happy to serve, to continue to bolster the arts. We want to make sure that, you know, the talent that exists here in the city doesn't go elsewhere to share their art. We want it all here, and we want people from outside the city to come and participate in that and see that the arts have a place and they're very, very important in, the future of us as a city, as a people, and as a society.
Thank you. Our residents continue to tell us every year in our resident survey that arts in general is important to our community. So thank you for doing all the different facets of art. As a non-visual artist, I'm not a painter. I'm not a drawer. I can't sketch. It's not my forte. But different kinds of art are. And I appreciate that you provide opportunities for all of us.
Yes, we have something for everyone. And we want something from everyone. We want you to come try it, you know? You never know until you try whether you can do it or not.
Yeah.
And even if you can't do it, at least you tried. Now you know.
Indeed.
Excellent.
Shan, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Please send our gratitude back to
I will certainly do so.
And our appreciation. appreciation, and I know Jason always expresses that every time he's there.
But yes.
Just thank you.
You betcha. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Council. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. All right, we have item H on our agenda. We have a public hearing item for Ordinance 2026-04, amending Section 17.130.030, prohibitions in the ADU floating zone of the South Jordan Municipal Code to clarify development standards. Before I turn to our long-range planner, Joe Moss, I am going to ask Mr. Luce just to make one clarifying statement, if he would.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Or as a senator told me, Madam Lord Mayor is the proper way to address you. Yes, that
this is not
Senator Curtis told me, and we saw him today, he said that it's the proper way to address. She does not love it, but who am I to argue with a senator?
Well, I'm not a mayor in Germany, so you know, that's what they say there. But weird.
No. I just anyway, would ask, you. Didn't he instruct me to do that?
He did.
Well,
yeah. I think she said it when police chief was here to protect you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like the senator told me I had to.
I'm just going to go with that. In both the staff report and more importantly in the ordinance, there's a typo that it says 17.130.130.030. There's the second .130 that is, it's just a typo we missed. I apologize that we missed it. It won't happen again. We're going to change some processes so that does not happen on our side when we approve ordinances. We looked at the noticing and everything, and it is very reasonable that if anybody was looking at this, they would find it if they just looked at it and clicked through our code. Further, as this would be the second time this is heard before the council, last time it was part of the bigger changes, and this was pulled out by the council because this still deals with the ADU. If you remember the issue last time, you wanted it kind of adjusted a bit before it came back to you, and so it's coming back to you that way. Further, it's also had a public hearing to the Planning Commission, and to my knowledge, neither the Planning Commission nor last time did we have a public comment on this issue. And so if there's a member of the comment who or public that wants to comment or talk to this issue or that has issues with that, we can look at that. Otherwise, I would say it is totally okay, or legally very low risk to adopt it, even though we had that typo.
Thank you. Nothing nefarious about a typo. It's just a redundant .130. So, yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Luce, you just mentioned that this went before the Planning Commission. So this edited, amended ordinance that we're looking at right now went to the Planning Commission, and they were completely covered.
Yes, but when it's part of the bigger ordinance you looked at last time, not separated out.
So the new part of this that's coming to us tonight was not put before the Planning Commission?
No, I don't believe it wasn't.
No, this is an amended version based off of the feedback that the council, right, the changes the council asked to be made on the previous version.
Yeah, and that part is typical. That generally, if the council kind of gives a little bit of direction, right, but the Planning Commission's heard that, we wouldn't take it back.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Moss, please take it away.
Yes, thank you. So as was mentioned, this is what we looked at last time. And the intent of this is to clarify where those ADU entrances are. Our current ordinance has a clause in there that is talking about trying to maintain the look and feel of a single family home. And so for that reason, it says that you cannot have an ADU entrance when it's visible from the street. In practical application, there's a little bit of ambiguity as to when it's appropriate to have those maybe on the side of a home where it's, you know, in very limited sight lines, it may be visible from the street. You know, when is that and when is that not appropriate? So this ordinance was intended to clarify that. So the version that we looked at last time would have prohibited a ADU entrance on that front elevation, or if it was on a corner, it would be on the side elevation that's on that corner. The feedback we heard from the council was that we wanted to look at some additional flexibility for certain circumstances when a side entrance on a corner may be appropriate. So the amended version that we're bringing forward to you today allows for two different scenarios where that would be applicable. So the first would be is if you have a below grade entrance. So if the door is at least 75%, you know, below that finished grade, that would be exempt from that prohibition on the side elevation on a corner. And the other would be is if there was a 6-foot opaque screening fence. So this house does not have an ADU, but this is just a screen grab I pulled of an example in South Jordan, so you could see how this might work. If they wanted to have an ADU entrance on that side entrance behind the fence line, that would be permitted under this new ordinance. So those are the changes we've made, and happy to answer questions after the hearing.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. We don't have an applicant on this, so I'm going to open the public hearing on ordinance 2026-04, amending section 17.130.030 of the South Jordan Municipal Code to clarify development standards. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing and turn to the council and see if you have any questions.
So I understand the initial reason for this is that we don't want it on the front and have it looking like maybe duplexes or something like that. I really don't understand why it matters if it's on the side of the house, whether it's below grade or above grade or not, and don't really understand why you can't have like a second story access like above the garage, especially if it meets kind of the architectural design of the home. We already have those type things going on in various parts of our city. I don't understand why we need to put regulations on the access besides just saying it can't be on the primary elevation.
Yes, so
help guide me why we need this.
Happy to. So under our current ordinance, it says that that entrance can't be visible from the street at all. Okay. So if you had a house that was on a corner and you wanted to have a basement entrance, but maybe that was somehow visible, if it was a second story access like you're talking about, it wouldn't necessarily be allowed under the current ordinance. This change is tweaked to clarify where we do allow those and where we don't allow those. So if you had like a second story entrance, if that were an interior lot, that would still be permitted on a side elevation. It wouldn't be on a corner elevation, but you do have other options where it could either be behind that screening fence or it could be in that basement entry. So the goal here is to serve the intent of the ordinance as it is currently to maintain the look of a single family home while allowing some additional flexibility and some increased clarity in how we are enforcing our ordinance.
Okay, so it's basically trying to bring us in conformance with what the ordinance.
Yeah, we're not trying to make a substantial kind of policy shift on this. What we're really trying to do is enshrine how we've historically interpreted the current ordinance into something a little bit more clear.
That's helpful, thank you.
Thank you, anyone else?
I was just wondering about the language on B. Shouldn't it, I mean, my appraiser brain says that it should say below grade and or screened by the 6-foot opaque fence, because you could have it where both are happening.
Yeah, in that circumstance, I think the intent was if it's behind a fence, it's behind a fence and it's meeting that. If it's below grade and also behind the screen, they're meeting that. So I don't think that meeting one would necessarily exclude the other. This would just permit a below grade entrance without a fence. So I think we're still allowing that kind of both situation. It wouldn't be prohibited under the current language.
I am super appreciative of the work you did on this, and thanks for the visuals. I appreciate, like, when you come to the council and you present and we kind of sidetrack you, you handled it beautifully, so professionally, and you came back with the resolution that I'm comfortable with, so thank you, Mr. Moss. I thought this was a great example of staff responding to some concerns and coming back with a good resolution, so thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to turn to the council and ask if there is a motion on ordinance 2026-04, amending section 17.130.030, prohibitions in the ADU floating zone of the South Jordan Municipal Code to clarify development standards. Is there a motion on that?
Madam Mayor, I'll move to approve ordinance 2026-04 as stated.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Zander. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a second by Mr. Shelton. Motion on the table. Any additional discussion?
I just wonder, you know, we've designed this or built the code to say, hey, we need to have the fence to hide the door. Or mostly hide the door, depending on the elevation or whatever. I wonder if there could be a little more flexibility, like, you know, maybe there's a landscaping feature or something that hides the door, or there's an architectural feature of some sort that hides the door. I mean, maybe I'm just overcomplicating something a lot, you know, but I feel like we could be more flexible with it than just saying, well, you know, either it's below grade or it's behind this opaque fence. So, I mean, it couldn't even be a fence that you could see through, you know. I don't know. I personally, I would be comfortable, I think, with landscape features or architectural features or something like that that in some fashion or way obscure the entrance a little bit. I don't know that we need to be really hardcore about it personally.
Okay, go ahead.
And now you've already changed it. Now I'm suggesting we change it again.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like we're trying to clarify the ordinance, add clarity to this ordinance, you know. For me, is this exactly how I would envision want it to be just in general if we were looking at it? But I don't feel like that's what we're trying to do, is just completely make a change, you know, to what we're doing here. So, I mean, I feel like what we're doing today is adding clarification to the existing ordinance, you know, I think that's what we're doing today. I do worry though down the road as we're having more ADUs that come into our city, you know,
which we know are going to happen.
I'm really interested to see how developers of new homes are in. Along with existing homes, people are going to modify their existing homes, but especially on the new home side, what is it going to look like? You know, what are these? You know, and is this going to have any conflict with any of that? No, knowing a lot of that's ahead of us, and so, you know, if we were looking to just do planning in general for ADUs, I'd probably want to do a more, you know, more in-depth discussion, you know, about what we think future developments are going to look like with these ADUs. But I do think you've done a good job in adding clarity to the existing ordinance, and I think that's what we're doing today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My comment to, opening it up to a feature, one man's feature may not be acceptable to a large group. I just think that just opens it up to too much interpretation, whereas a fence is pretty clear and it'll be easy to legislate or to enforce. I think if we open it up too broadly, it will be too interesting. Sorry.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McGuire.
So Kathy, I wasn't sure I understood what you said, I'm sorry.
I think that if you're saying, some kind of feature that lets too much.
It's too flexible.
Too flexible, because then you're going to have to make staff or someone make a decision. This is needed or not. A fence is pretty clear.
Oh, it's
crystal clear.
It's opaque, actually. It's very, that's just saying.
I agree a lot with what Mr. Harris said about this is about trying to clarify existing code that's there. If we were looking at how we were going to address ADUs going forward and setting standards, you know, kind of looking down the road, knowing we're going to have a lot more ADUs in the future, I would totally change this whole section. But for what we're trying to do at this point of just clarifying what we're already trying to enforce, I'm okay with it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. So if there is a substitute motion, the time for that would be now. If there isn't, then we'll ask.
Well, it's just out of vote, Mayor.
Okay. Okay.
I think to that point, because
like
of the discussion,
I'm straining at a nap.
Maybe this is something that staff could bring back to us, because we obviously, the ADU thing is something, I mean, not this one. I'm sorry.
Okay, not this one. Thank you. Okay.
Don't panic. But you said future opportunities, we need to explore this deeper. I'm just saying it's obvious we have some thoughts on the ADU issue.
Yeah, because going along with that, and I alluded to it in our last meeting, I mean, there's perfect examples, like within the Daybreak community, of homes with corner lots, and they're allowed to do that because of the Daybreak Master Agreement and the HOA standards, where this works without there being fences blocking or trying to hide this basement entrance, or, you know, stairs going up to an ADU above a garage. It's designed to blend in with the side of the garage, same architectural standards, and I just don't see why that can't apply to everywhere else in our city. But that's not what we came to discuss tonight. We came to just discuss cleaning up what our current ordinance is. And so.
So that is an opportunity for a future discussion if it's a discussion the council decides they'd like to have.
Yeah, I see that more of a grand discussion than just trying to clean up a piece of code right here.
Mr. Priest, I
would almost guarantee you after some legislative session in the future, we will be rediscussing.
Yes, we will.
So we'll have, I'm sure we'll have an opportunity at some point.
So, yeah, because.
And then we can take a more holistic look at it.
Because the bill on this died in committee, but what we heard at LPC today, this is far from over, even from this session. You know, what will happen? So.
I'm trying to remember, so it's the same sponsor. So one of his bills died today relating to inspectors. Another bill
was the end of last week.
Yeah, but that one was relating to the automatic permitted uses.
But also with accessory.
The ADUs attached into that bill. And so, but that was for external ADUs, I believe. Did it have more?
Which is what some
of these also what we're talking about.
Because it could be above a garage, which should make it an external ADU.
It couldn't.
You know, we got word from one of our legislators that he's confident it'll come back, and the league is not so sure, but he said he's confident it'll come back and pass. So we might be talking a lot more about this just in a couple of weeks.
Some version of the external ADU will pass. I don't know if including the permitted use language and the short turnaround times will pass.
Right.
But the external ADU is a thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mayor, based on what's going on at the legislature, do you have a recommendation whether we pass this or not pass this tonight?
I don't have an official vote, but I do recommend we pass this tonight. I think it does bring clarity to this, and I'm supportive of it, even though I don't have an official vote. I think this helps bring clarity. The goal is to allow more flexibility for our residents. We've been asked for it, and this does that, but also clearly. It's not ambiguous, and it's also not subject to anyone's opinion. It is what it is, which makes it easy for people to understand. And so, I'm supportive of this. I think it's well done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to turn to Mrs. Crookston and ask if you'll please lead the council in a roll call vote.
Councilmember Zander.
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton.
Yes.
Councilmember Harris.
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson.
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for the work on that and taking that back and doing a little bit more work on this. Appreciate that. And Thanks for all the time that's gone into it. All right, we're going to turn to our city manager, Mr. Dustin Lewis, for staff reports and calendaring items.
I have one thing, and that is just a reminder as we go deeper into the legislative session to be on the lookout for action alerts that come from the league. And if you see those, to respond as quickly as possible. Those are very much time essential. So if you see those, reach out immediately. If one comes through, you need some additional background or clarification, please feel free to reach out to City Attorney Luce or myself, and we'll try to get you all the background you need for that. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, okay. They will either come as an email or a text.
They'll come as an email, and then we'll probably get a text from Ryan that says, hey.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Cam did drive that point home today in LPC. If you get an action alert, it is pronto. It is urgent. So, yeah. Okay. We have made it to the end of our agenda, and so I will ask if there's a motion to adjourn.
Mayor, I'll move that we adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. A motion by Mrs. Zander and a second by Mrs. Johnson. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you to all of you.